Hi, I'm Chris Kattan. You probably know me from Saturday Night Live. And
you guys want some cookies?
And Dancing with the Stars, which I went very far. I got cut the first week. And you're listening to Quality Time with two gentlemen that are just finer than frog hair.
Buddy, you need to get comfortable first.
God damn it.
First and foremostly is comfort. Safety, secondary to comfort, I say.
Yeah. Third, erogenous zones.
Yes.
Fourth.
Fourth, butt toots.
Butt toots. Fifth, releasing noxious gases. Five, sexual, I don't know. Anyway, welcome to Quality Time, everybody. Yes, we're back.
That's an interesting intro.
So much quality.
Like that.
And a very Merry Christmas to everyone listening. It's going to be, you know what? It's Christmas Day, everybody.
Ooh, you guys.
Maybe I put it out Christmas Eve. Maybe I'll let this one drop Christmas Eve.
That's
so
beautiful.
It'll be, you can wake up Christmas morning like everybody does and throw on Quality Time, because that's how I spend my holidays.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
We're not going to even have any jokes during this one. This is going to be all serious.
Yes.
All love.
And very respectful.
And never anything to offend anyone.
Never.
Yeah, we would never do anything like that.
I would never that. Do that.
But thank you very much, Quality Timers, for tuning in again. We're coming off the big episode last week of Silent Night, Deadly Night, which I got to be honest with you, one of my favorite eps.
Pretty great.
One of my favorite eps.
Pretty great.
It's really grown on me after editing it and listening to it over and over. Like, I probably listen to every podcast more than anybody here because I have to edit and do all that. And it's, wow.
And you just listen to like one section 17 times just so you can clip stuff out?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's fun.
Are you going to introduce everybody who's on the show today?
Oh, I'm sorry. I've gone this far. Standing to my left, the very lovely, the very talented Miss Kimberly Ambrose.
Yay!
Kimberly, how are you?
It's good to be here. I'm slightly sick, but I'm excited to talk about Krampus.
She's been so freaking lazy this week. She's only probably put in 80 hours between her four jobs.
Honestly, it's rude of me.
And to my right, my blood, my brother, the man who shares DNA with me, not just from brotherhood. My brother, Jeremy Woodworth, everyone.
Who are you talking about?
I'm sorry, who's joining with us on the show this evening?
You know who it is. I figured I'd join your show. Million Dollar Miner, Tony Beats. Figure I'd see what the fuck your fucking guys are doing on this fucking show.
Tony Beats, everybody.
Whoa.
I had a little bit of free time. I'd see what the fuck you're doing. Maybe you can make me laugh. I'm Tony Beats.
I like how he says his name at the beginning and end of every impersonation. Hi, I'm Michael Caine. And at the end, oh, Michael Caine.
Because, I'm also David Bowie.
Hey, can you give me a little bit of Paul McCartney?
Hello, I'm Paul McCartney. I was in Wings and also a band you might have known, the Beatles.
All right, let me stretch it out. Give me just a little bit of Tom Hardy.
Oh, good one.
Oh, Tom Hardy, I know him by heart. Hello, I'm Tom Hardy. I also played the bad guy Bane against Batman.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
I've been working on my Gary Oldman because he's probably the hardest.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello, I'm Gary Oldman. I was also in Batman. I play Commissioner Gordon.
Remember the movie Fifth Element? I was in that too.
Can I do
in
one?
That movie,
can I do one?
I played a Texan.
Yes. Let me do one. Yes. Hello, I'm the King of Zimbabwe. All right. Or how about this one? How about this one? Hello, I'm your mom's doctor. How about that?
That was pretty good.
Thank
Kim.
You. I feel powerful.
I was thinking he's kind of sounded more like Jessica Chastain in that.
I liked it. I liked it a lot. By the way, all the quality timers out there, just a quick reminder, we are now on Stitcher. So if Stitcher is your preferred platform, you can go and check us out there. And while you're there, make sure you drop us the 5-star rating so we can read it on the show. If you do that on iTunes or if you do it on Stitcher, we will read it on the air. No new ones this week, although we are up to 11 on iTunes. 5-star ratings. Bro. So now we're just trying to get our Stitcher game up. So if you already did it on iTunes, go get back on fucking Stitcher. We're sick of you lazy and moping about. All right. You know, if you only gave us 1 5-star rating, fuck you.
Right.
That's it. And we've rescinded all of our praises up until now.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Stitcher sounds like a really good website for women that have had children.
Stitcher? I got it. Like vaginas.
Yeah.
Like vagina Stitchers.
Like vagina Stitchers.
Jeremy, Kimberly, are you ready for this week's
episode? You and Tony Beats!
Sorry. I'm so ready.
Because I'm ready for this.
I'm ready
this
so hard.
Week, we are going over the 2015, I'm going to say, instant classic.
Okay.
I'm putting it right in the classics range. That is 2015's Krampus.
Motherfucking Krampus.
This is usually a time where I would put in fun music and stuff like that, but I scoured the internet for fun clips and I just didn't find any audio I wanted to use from Krampus.
I'm feeling a crave mood here. Let me help you out. He's got hooves for feet and they're covered in hair. He's wearing chains. He's a motherfucking Krampus.
Damn it.
How about that? That was fun.
Wish I had my guitar.
Nice.
That was pretty good, actually. That was better than I expected.
Thanks for your subwoof, bruh.
That was better than I expected. What if we did like a hip hop one, like
covered in hair? He doesn't care. He's gonna eat your soul, and I can't rhyme with that. Yeah. Turn up my headphones. That's my favorite line in every rap song. The turn up the headphones request.
Yo, really? The Krampus.
Is your headphones really messed up?
No.
Oh, good. No.
Fritz Slax is a hit.
Yeah.
So
Kim brought the medal tonight. I was impressed.
Was pretty good. Krampus was released 2015 by director Michael Dougherty, who is known best for the movie Trick or Treat.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He does a lot of holiday theme things.
So is he related to Shannon Doherty?
Yes, he's related to Shannon Doherty and actually the band Daughtry. It's oddly enough. He's actually the entire band.
Oh, Daughtry. You didn't know that? You didn't know that he came out of her butt? You didn't know that?
Michael Dougherty, though, is also known. It might be Michael Daughtry. I'm going to go with Michael Daughtry. Michael Daughtry.
I like how you said, I'm going to go with. Like, you just chose what his last name
is. I can barely read as a human being, and it's hard when I've learned his name minutes before the show.
Putting the quality in quality time.
Michael Daughtry, director of Trick or Treat, is also known for writing one of the better X-Men movies, X2, X-Men United.
Oh, wow.
And also one of the shittier Superman movies, Superman Returns.
Cool.
So let's not give him all the praise in the goddamn world. That's the one with Kevin Spacey.
That's new. That isn't bad. I'm thinking of like Superman 3 or 4.
No, this is the Superman with Kevin Spacey where wrong! That's the one where Kevin Spacey says wrong a lot.
Let me ask you this question.
Yes.
If your husband that you were married, the man you're married to as a man, if your husband wrote that movie, is that grounds for divorce?
Listen, it depends. If you're married, if you're Kevin Spacey, it means A, that you're probably only 16 years old now, so your marriage is 2 years firm. He's already solidified you as, you know, a solid mate at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you get off that money wagon yet, you know?
So you couldn't just go to court and be like, Your Honor, he didn't hit me. He wasn't manipulative or abusive. He wasn't even really overbearing. But he did write a shitty Superman movie. He'd be like, granted, get out of here. You get everything.
Yeah, this is what... Listen, if I were to give Kevin Spacey's 14-year-old accuser any advice, it would have been... You know, you should have stuck around until you got knocked up, and then, you know, then you would have been able to get it all.
You got the DNA.
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
Yes.
Totally.
I don't think of it as that much of a shitty movie. Maybe it didn't have enough action, but either way, you can give me your... I don't know. I just like little kids throwing pianos, so...
That is a pretty good action.
Who doesn't?
That actually was pretty cool. Krampus is a huge part of Austrian and German folklore. In Austria and southern Germany, they have Krampus runs where grown-up men dress up as Krampuses and parade through the city streets to scare children.
Hilarious.
And it's basically, you know, it's the deterrent. It's the flip side of Santa Claus. Santa Claus brings you gifts and this, but the naughty people, the naughty boys and girls, get a fucking horrible goat-faced monster that will come and eat you in your sleep if you act naughty, because German children are very horrible.
I was gonna say, what is the worst this child in question has ever fucking done? Did they like rob a bank that belonged to a cancer patient whose mom also had lupus, and then he spit in her face when he ran out with the money? Like, fuck you. Like, what if terror is punishment? What would be so bad? Like, we don't even use that as a punishment in the judicial system. We just make you sit in a room for a while with other criminals.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a bit harsh to do to children. And, you know, who knows? Maybe if, you know, years ago, you know, we go back to the 1900s, turn of the century, maybe if there was no Krampus, we wouldn't have shaped and formed a very young Adolf Hitler.
Wow. So, wow, worth it.
I just want to say.
I got to say, worth it.
You know, Krampus has brought us a lot of good things.
Children's terror.
He used that terror and love for art to hate Jews. And, you know, we can't downplay the importance of Krampus this time of year.
No.
Michael Daughtry describes the Krampus in his film as Santa Claus's shadow. In his own words, he says, "He's not an unstoppable monster that kicks down your door and rampages and grabs you. He's something darkly playful about him. He's having a good time doing what he does, and he enjoys the cat and mouse aspect of it." The film was originally set for release November 25th in 2015, but was pushed back to December 4th to coincide with Krampusnacht, which is the traditional Austrian festival held on December 5th that celebrates the Krampus coming to punish the naughty children.
Somebody's putting a new baby name down in the possibilities book. Krampusnacht?
Krampusnacht.
Krampusnacht. Nobody's fucking with that kid.
I can't believe that Australians are into this dark Santa
Austrians,
Claus thing.
Austrians.
And that Austrians. Like, stripping from the Barbie?
You can't believe that German people are involved in something rigid and terrifying?
Yes.
That eludes you?
I think a Krampusnacht, it actually sounds like when you have a cramp in your vagina.
Yeah.
Like Krampusnacht!
Or like right on the outer rim of your butthole. There's like a little like Krampusnacht!
Oh, I have a huge Krampusnacht!
And you're in traffic at the same time.
Oh. You know, the Germans have words for everything.
It's a miracle.
For that, it makes me excited.
Like the word doorknob in German, that's Winkelschneinen Glügenflagen. So.
I like in Young Frankenstein when she's like, he must have an enormous Schwanzstucker. That's fun.
Just a little, some more history on the background of this movie. You know, we talked about on our last episode some other Christmas movies that were shrouded with controversy. Biggest being Silent Night, Deadly Night of 1984, but also there was Black Christmas in 1974. And there was also controversy surrounding Krampus in 2015, because a horror Christmas movie is a tough sell, even 30 years after the fact. So what Legendary Films had to eventually bend to was giving this a PG-13 rating to get it released on the Christmas season.
This is something that I brought up while I was watching it, was what is the point of a PG-13 rated horror movie? Because I noticed that every time they were building to something, they would have to like not show you the scary thing, or they would have to like take out the cuss words. And it's like it kind of pulls the rug out from under you when you're trying to build fear.
Yeah, I get that, but I think what we got with this movie was instead of a gory, I think you get a legit Christmas movie out of this, and we'll get into that a little bit more.
So instead of getting something that I would have liked,
you get a Meaning of Christmas movie, okay. Which is I think it actually ended up being pretty good. Well, obviously, you didn't like it. But Legendary Pictures agreed to it so that Universal would release it. And an interesting story, the director, Daughtry, actually wanted this the opening to have the original Universal Films 1980s logo to open up the movie, but decided against it. Reason
that's
being,
cool. Why?
The original Universal is actually, you know, I don't know, it has like a more horror feel to it.
Yeah.
They've done a lot of horror movies in the past, and that logo was synonymous between that and the old Paramount one.
Yeah.
I mean, I always think Paramount when I see Friday the 13th and stuff like that. So, you know, I would kind of wish he had stuck with that, but ultimately did not.
I was explaining to a 5-year old recently that when you put, there used to be these things called VHS tapes.
Yes.
And when you would put them in, there would be like a dial up. It was mm-hmm. like someone was calling the movie. You'd hear like a burp, 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 burp,
yeah.
And then
yeah,
it would
yeah.
start. How weird is that? What is that?
I don't know. Maybe that's something that tells the VCR that to stop rewinding full speed so you don't rip the tape.
Ah, dude, got it.
I'm gonna go with
that. That's part of the parallax view that they put on to control your mind.
I was gonna say, dude, I got it. It's Illuminati shit. I got it.
Exactly. You're set to be programmed like a robot from hearing that little noise.
True story. Jeremy Woodworth with a fax.
I know about VHS. Back in the first days of VHS, I used to be a normal person. Then I watched this horrible movie. Why did I like it so much? Because of that little thing at the beginning of the VHS.
So all the powers yes, yes. of Operation Paperclip and Manchurian Candidate and MK Ultra just comes down to like, they're going to make you like this movie even though you may not like it.
Yeah, dude, if you're going to like take over my mind, at least show me Infinity Wars Part 1.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm living for at this point. The movie opens up and it is pure mayhem at the local Walmart, but I think it's called the Savings Brondo or the
something like that. Yeah,
the Savings Hacienda. I didn't write it down, but I know it's like some play on words that has to do with like a Mexican, like the Hondo Hut or something like that.
Okay.
I don't remember, but it opens up with a pretty cool scene of everybody trying to murder each other and get today's holiday gifts. Thoughts
accurate.
And takeaways, people getting tased, opening
credits. I can't think of another movie that makes fun of materialism of Christmas any better. So
it is pretty good. It is pretty good. It shows people like, how many stuntmen do you think they paid for that single day?
It made me think of the scene in Jumanji when the hunter is running around that store and he's hunting children.
Mm.
And I couldn't remember, does that take place on Christmas or was that store just really busy for no reason?
No, I think it is a Christmas movie. Is
right?
Jumanji a Christmas movie that I just never knew?
Right, because as I was watching the opening scene, it triggered my brain. I was like, oh, this is just like in Jumanji when all those people were there for Christmas and then he was just shooting a high-powered weapon into a bunch of people. But I couldn't remember if it was actually Christmas or if they were just really packed in the store.
Okay, something that makes no sense whatsoever is that they're having a Christmas pageant at a Walmart.
Yeah, yeah, with
a fight.
Full manger scene.
Yeah, yes. that was interesting.
Now, the movie itself was actually filmed, that scene was filmed in a single day at a location in New Zealand.
Interesting.
So, wow, Kiwi.
Filmed in New Zealand,
everyone.
Well,
the movie wasn't Kiwi, was it?
No, I believe just that opening sequence was shot in New Zealand, so... Everyone is it then opens with the family showing up at their house. You get to meet Max and Tom, played by MJ MJ Anthony plays the young boy Max, and Adam Scott plays Tom. Adam Scott's from a bunch of different movies.
Step Brothers.
He's the dickhead. And more recently, that Omen spoof that's on Netflix. You can see him in that. It's really good. But he's a pretty good straight man.
Is Toni Collette, is she Australian or New Zealand?
I don't know.
I think she's Australian.
Toni Collette is also playing the mother in this, playing Sarah. And they are up in arms because Sarah's sister is coming to town, who's played by Stefina Levine Owen, Allison Tomlin is played, is her sister, Linda. And everybody's up in arms because family is coming to town.
Wowza.
And
I figured it out while I was watching it. she looked familiar. She was in the Fargo TV show. And she was awesome.
She plays the cop in Fargo season 1.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah, yeah. It was she's really good.
I fell in love with Toni Collette ever since The Sixth Sense. So,
yeah?
As the mother. And finding out that she was Australian, I was like, oh my gosh!
That just makes you even hotter somehow.
She did like a New Jersey, New York accent so damn well in that movie.
She was really good in The United States of Tara. She did a good job in that.
I've never seen that.
It was the rest of it was kind of shit, but she was really good.
Oh, good. Yeah. You know, now I'm going to watch it.
Check it out.
Did anybody notice when the family shows up?
Yes. Well, that is the next scene. Max is writing his letter to Santa and talking to Grandma.
Yeah.
And Grandma's starting to reiterate the importance of Christmas and believing. And the Grandma is played by an actress named Krista Stadler, who is actually Austrian and was added to the movie almost like a month before the shoot because the two other actresses that they had hired for this had to back out at the last minute.
Dang.
Wow.
So
she was bad fucking ass.
And very German.
Very, very German.
Austrian.
I was so fucked up when she made... They came in and Adam Scott walks in. He's like, hey, Mom. And she literally made like 17 different kinds of desserts by hand. And he goes, don't work too hard. Sarah picked up cookies at the store.
Yeah, don't worry. We don't give a fuck about any of
really?
This.
Really? Like straight up German Christmas treats. You're going to be like, nah, I'm going to give it to Giant and get some M&M's cookies. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? No respect. These kids got no respect.
Well, that is the theme throughout the beginning of the movie. You can actually see the mother, Sarah, is Toni Collette, is actually hanging the picture that they just took at the Walmart.
That was hilarious.
And they're all wearing the same outfits, and Santa is checking out the daughter's ass, which is pretty
hilarious.
Good. It's a very, very funny, you know, they're already setting the ground for the campiness of the film.
Yes.
She has to
general.
Be at least 16, so.
Yeah. So they set the stage for us, and then all of a sudden comes the rumbling.
It's awesome.
And all of a sudden, Linda and her husband, Howard, show up.
Played by David Koechner.
David Koechner.
I love him.
Have you seen him at MacGoobies?
Not at MacGoobies. I know he was there like last summer or something, but he's a super nice guy. Every comic that's like worked with him and taken pictures with him, he's just like a super nice
guy.
He's
real big buds with our buddy Rob Mayer.
Yeah.
And they go to dinner with each other and stuff. And if I ever get to meet David Koechner, I would just be very excited because I've just heard he's a very down-to-earth guy.
Champ Kind in Anchorman.
Yes, plays Champ Kind in Anchorman. He's also in the movie Waiting, if you've ever seen that. He's a very, very funny gentleman. Fun story that I heard from Josh Kaderna, opened up for him at the... Josh Kaderna, who's a local comic from here in Maryland, opened up for him at the Arlington Draft House and said he was such a great guy, we actually wrestled backstage. We had a wrestling...
I heard that.
An actual wrestling match. He's like, get over here, come on, man. They legitimately wrestled. So that's just the kind of guy David Koechner is.
Beautiful.
I heard he's a beautiful man and a very fun person to be around. So in comes the family, and boy oh boy, shit gets real right away. They really establish what a piece of shit Koechner's character is. Yes, the two boys that are actually girls that are, you know, fighting back and forth constantly. Koechner's son is drinking Mountain Dew at the table.
Out of a 2-liter. He's not even using a cup.
Yes.
Like a goddamn animal.
We also get to meet Aunt Dorothy, who's probably my favorite character out of all of them.
Kick ass.
Her first line is, he's like, all right, where's the bar so we can get married? So she just goes really hard.
What's her real name?
That would be... I'm not. It's Conchita Farrell.
That's fucking crazy.
Conchita Farrell.
Maybe she's French.
I don't know. Ooh. But plays Aunt Dorothy. Conchita Farrell. Also famous, little known fact, that's actually the lady who runs the Neptunes. That's Farrell, the black guy, is not really the real guy. It's actually this lady who's been writing all the music for the Neptunes this whole year.
That's amazing.
All these years.
She's so talented.
Isn't it? Yeah, I thought so too.
I can't figure out what else she's been in, but I know I've seen her in
other things. She was on a sitcom. She played like the, I don't know, like the big funny lady that's always in the kitchen. What was it? Was that Two and a Half Men?
That's
or?
What I'm thinking, but I might be somebody else.
Yeah, it's something like that.
I feel like she Maybe loses all of her parts to Kathy Bates.
Yeah.
Or she gets all parts that Kathy Bates turns down.
Yes, yes. Hmm.
Can I get the next most important fact when the kids walk in?
Yes, please.
Is the fact that they talk about how they're both Steelers fans.
Oh, yeah, they're both Steelers fans.
I didn't notice that. That's funny.
Sorry, the girls are a little upset. The Steelers lost on the way over here.
So they're banking on the fact that the audience is going to be like, fucking Steelers
fucking
fans.
Steelers fans on top of everything.
This All movie right. was made for Baltimore.
All right.
I don't know if it really was, but I'll take it. Family arrives. Let's get married. Keckner's son, the next big scene is they are sitting at the dinner table having Christmas dinner. It is a very lovely spread. Howard's son is drinking Mountain Dew straight from the bottle, and he says, I'm going to make sure he's the biggest lineman in the state. Which is...
I like the that's my boy part.
That's my boy!
That's my boy!
He immediately... Howard immediately does all the things that you shouldn't do at a family get-together, like starting a debate about guns at the
yes.
table. And what do you mean? This family needs a talk about
guns. That
was
great.
Guns.
She goes, she's like, listen, no gun talk at the table. Like, that's typical. We hear women say that in family dynamic. Oh, to, hey, no politics, no religion. Come on, man. We're trying to have a nice time. She goes, hey, no gun talk. The next thing out of his mouth is, this family needs a little gun talk. Like, will not back down. Fucking love it.
Oh, so good. Yeah, and then
which pays off later. So
oh, yeah. It does. It does pay off later. Next is everybody starts shitting on Linda's cooking or this year or
is it Linda's? Cooking? What did he say? He's like, tasted good, hun, and he goes, a little dry. He goes, well, mine tasted good.
No, everyone starts shitting on Sarah's cooking.
Yeah,
and actually.
A little dry.
It comes down to Dorothy saying, who doesn't make ham on Christmas? And then Keckner comes in without a sound. What are you, a Jew? just really hammers home the special moments of this movie. The douchebag cousins, the two girl cousins that love the Steelers, get a hold of who they call Maxie Pad, Max's letter to Santa Claus, and they start reading aloud.
And it's sad.
And it is mad sad. He's just
kind
like,
of a little bitch.
He's just like, he is very much, first of all, let's talk about Max's entitlement issues. Number one, maybe you want your parents to stay together. Yeah, so does everybody, pal.
Yeah.
It doesn't really work out like that, all right? Maybe they just don't like each other anymore. Did
I
you ever think of that?
I want mom and dad to love each other more. Why? Yeah. You're about to get toys for Christmas. What do you care?
God. Then she said, I do like how it does eventually backfire on him as the girls are reading. And she says, and I hope that Uncle Howard just lets his two daughters be daughters instead of boys.
Yeah,
I know he really
like,
wanted
damn.
Two boys. Hey, like that, which immediately sparks a fight and a wrestling match ensues where Max runs back up to his room. Dad has to come in and console Max in a classic. Come here, tiger.
Come on,
let's
man.
Sit down here. Why does bad things happen? He was just like, you know what? We just got to deal with it for a couple days. They're our family. They're our blood. No matter what we do, blah blah blah. And you know what? It's kind of heartwarming to an extent. Overly heartwarming. Really sending home that this is a family movie that we're trying to get home. You know, all right, now we could just be having Home Alone right now.
Sure,
it's very similar to the movie Home Alone in some respects.
It's also very relatable. Of being like, I gotta deal with these fucking people.
National Lampoon's Christmas Story.
Yes, or National...
Except they don't have their RV out front, and they're just a little bit harder, so...
Yeah, yeah. Although, man, whew. Randy Quaid in this movie. I mean, I wouldn't change... I like Keckner so much in this part, but if you told me Randy Quaid was in this, I think it might have put this movie over the top. But that's just me. Keckner did a great job.
Should we cast Randy Quaid? Dude, he's over the top as an actor. He can't fucking work anymore. He's fucking insane.
He's lost his mind.
We'll just get Randy Quaid and Keanu Reeves and I'm trying to think... Oh, Nicolas Cage. And it'll be fucking great.
It's like he said he would work on the movie, but if only there was a stipulation there were no FBI around on set. So
yes. So after the after his dad comes in and consoles him, he ends up leaving the room, and Max is looking at his letter to Santa, and he's like, you know, before he leaves, he says, you know, it's not too late to mail that. We can mail it tonight. It'll probably be there in time for Christmas. And he looks at it, and he ends up ripping up the letter and throwing it out the window. And this disbelief in Santa Claus is what sparks the oncoming onslaught
you
of
done
the darkness.
Did it now.
As Krampus.
And brings on the clouds that are exactly the same from Ghostbusters over the
Or the I likened it to was the original poster art for the movie Fright Night.
Ooh,
looks very
good
similar
one.
To that too. So they start forming above the house, and then the next morning there is a rather odd looking snowman right in the front yard, just peeking through the window, just looking in there, just saying, hey, what are you doing, Max, in there? There's no power. Everything is down. No hot water.
It's a very silent way to be like, cash me outside, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Isn't this kind of like Home Alone 2, because all the really rich neighbors have actually moved to like Cancun for vacation as well?
Yeah, so. Nobody's around. Yeah.
They've all left.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say Cancun.
What did you mean to say?
I meant to say Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah, okay.
Puerto Patois.
The daughter convinces, the daughter Beth convinces her dad and mom that she needs to go four blocks to visit her boyfriend, which is, that's how babies get made in this kind of weather, sir.
It's true.
I'm not letting my teenage daughter out of my sight in a snowstorm.
Blizzard time, you're either fucking or fighting.
Yeah, there's nothing to distract you. You're just, it's going to be fuck or bad stuff. That's it. It's the only thing that's going to happen as a child.
So all bad stuff.
Yes. No, it's statistically proven though. During blizzards and like in catastrophes and stuff like that, floods, huge uptick in childbirths.
As well
those times.
As major sporting events, the city or country that wins.
Oh yeah.
There's always a lot of births 9 months after that.
Oh,
people
nice.
Be fucking.
Yo, people like to fuck when they're happy.
In all the birth industry, we see that. Like if there's a big blizzard, like come May, June, a whole lot of births.
She said, "Come May."
Yeah, I didn't want to brag, but I'm what my family calls an ET baby.
Oh.
Because my parents like to fuck to the movie ET after they saw it.
Who doesn't?
Because after seeing his elongated neck, they were like, you know, Papa Woodworth, I could use something that's elongated right now.
Into that.
And next thing you know, Eric Woodworth was born, everybody.
Wow.
Eric Tristan.
Can I say 100% true story? The best sex I ever had after what movie? The Muppet movie.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
The Muppet movie was the best sex you've ever had?
Yes.
Why? What? Did you actually see it in the theater?
No. We rented it out, and this was, what, 5 years ago? Maybe 4 years ago?
Okay, yeah.
And the wife just loved that movie. And just
she fisted
amazing.
His ass. She turned him into a puppet. He liked it.
Look, lots of couples like playing with puppets, okay?
That is a horrible movie for that to happen.
No, it brings you back to the time when things were great and marriage didn't suck. So
marriage doesn't suck, buddy. You'll see the light one day.
And you owe your wife so much money, you might as well just eat a fucking bullet.
Dude,
so.
Dude,
free dinner? What?
Stop worrying about it. She's going to murder you like Discovery ID.
I'm
going to
die of natural causes anyway from being fat and a drunkard. So whatever, you know?
Dude, she's been slipping. She's just surprised by how much antifreeze it's taking. I mean, she's fed you gallons.
Don't you like Mountain Dew? This doesn't taste like Mountain Dew.
Jerry's been drinking antifreeze for the last 6 years, and he actually likes it.
It burns, and it makes me want to vomit.
What's the generic version of Mountain Dew? Isn't it like Dr. Thunder?
Yes, Dr. Thunder.
That's what you're tasting,
Thunder.
Is the Thunder.
This is the off-brand? That's why it tastes so bad at poisoning me?
Oh. I'll tell you guys just one other little side note, and then we'll get back. I might have a weirder sexual experience to a movie than you. When I was in my younger years, and this is before I met my lovely wife,
okay.
I might have gone to the movie theater and seen the movie Finding Nemo.
I was shooting for Miss Congeniality, but go ahead.
And it was maybe a unpacked house, and I was maybe me and this lady were the only people there, and I maybe got a hand job in the movie theater to Finding Nemo.
Nice.
And it is weird to watch it with my children now.
You guys almost had a different mom. How about that?
Yeah, yeah. How about that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I look, when I think wife material, I think, would she jerk me off during a Disney film? The answer was yes for that.
High on
the answer
list.
Was yes.
Why were you watching Finding Nemo in the theater?
She wanted to go see Finding Nemo in the theater.
Oh, gosh.
And you know what? When she sees all those hot aquatic CGI animals, it's just, well, it's time to jerk this guy off. He's done all the
right
parts.
What really gets me fucking wet is the search for a missing child fish. Gets me fucking wet.
I don't understand.
It was all the water. That's what it was. It was all underwater, and she was like, I'm feeling moisture right now.
I don't understand. I work at theaters. I see the people that go into the theater. I see them come out. I see at least 20 people that come out of the new movie Coco, which is obviously a kid's Mexican film about the dead.
And they're putting their dick away.
Not a child out of all those people coming out.
I'm yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Because kids' this movies are really film. Good. They're good. They're entertaining. They're safe. They're funny.
Well, no, that's where all those adults go to get jerked off.
Yeah,
Jeremy.
Duh.
That's,
See, now you're enlightening me. They're all getting jerked off. They don't care about the
Have
movies,
you not so. Known about the Disney jerk-off movies? That's,
What are the rules to when you start getting checked?
You know, they.
In the first montage or the first song. So.
We always assumed that Pee Wee was busted at a porn house, which he was, but they never tell you what the movie he was watching. It was actually The Little Mermaid 2, Back to the Sea. Which is.
Putting the O in ocean.
Oh, man. We've gone completely off the tracks, and I'm okay with it.
Cool.
Welcome to quality time.
We needed a little break.
We needed a little break. Okay. So the daughter goes out, and they reluctantly agree. And as she's about to leave, they ask the, why don't we check with the neighbors? And there's a reference to a noodle incident, which they don't explain. They say, oh, he can't go back over there. That's part of the noodle incident. And they don't explain what that is. And it's not supposed to be explained. It's actually a callback to the comic strip Calvin and Hobbes. Calvin and Hobbes references that throughout the comics as the noodle incident,
oh,
and they never explain what it is. Huh. So I took it immediately as I was like, well, he probably tried to fuck that noodle. But that's just me, and I'm sick and demented, but I had no idea it had a childhood thing. I was just like, because the kid looked back and smiled. He was like, yeah, I tried to fuck that noodle.
My cousin.
The hole is just big enough where it's not going to fit, but maybe it'll fit. And you're like, if I force it in there, I bet you feel good.
My cousin could take a spaghetti noodle, stick it in one nostril, it would come out the other, and she would floss her nose with it.
Wow.
Wicked cool.
I want to meet her now.
I think it was the pool. I thought it was a pool noodle. I thought that's what they were talking about.
Oh, a noodle.
Yeah. But yeah.
You said
that
fuck it.
Good.
I was like, dude, the hole in macaroni is not that big. You think this kid has a baby dick? What are you talking about?
That's when I fuck the Velveeta shells.
Thank you.
They're open. They cover just the whole tip. And you circulate it on the end.
You ever
with
took
the mac
a
and
plate
cheese.
Of manicotti to go see Toy Story? It's amazing.
I know a female clown named Cheeks, and she likes doing the long stringy balloons through her nose. And actually, after putting it through the nose, blowing up part of it and pushing the air through the nose to the other side.
Oh my God.
And I remember getting a close up video, and I'm like, man, I just want to lick that balloon after it's been through your nose.
She goes to give a blowjob, and the guy's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Oh my gosh.
Oh gosh.
So Beth leaves the house, and she starts the 4-block trek to go to her boyfriend's house. And she doesn't make it too far. She first sees a DHL guy who's at the door, goes and delivers him a package. Also sees a weird giant package out there. They go and bring both of those things in. One is not from the DHL guy. That will come into play later.
Suspicious.
A suspicious package. But it's in a giant Santa sack.
Post 9/11, we leave that outside.
Yeah.
See something, say something.
Mm-hmm. And they take the stuff inside, and Beth starts her trek down the long and snowy road. And all of a sudden, shit gets real dark. It goes from day to night, and she looks on top, and that is the first time we get to see Krampus about 20 minutes into the movie.
Fuck yeah.
On top of the building, on top of one of the houses, and he starts jumping from rooftop to rooftop, so you can see that, ooh, he's got some skills. And
badass.
She starts deciding that this is a bad idea and starts to make a run for it.
Is this before or after she sees the DHL guy in the truck?
She then runs frozen
with the look on his face. He's like,
yes. She runs and sees the DHL truck and finds that the guy is there frozen in time and pure terror. And she crawls underneath the vehicle, you know, face first in the snow. Interestingly enough, all the snow for the movie is actually made from the same material that they use to put in diapers. So just a fun little fact.
What
there.
A waste of a material that never biodegrades.
Yes.
Cool. Tight.
I would have guessed soap flakes.
So they're underneath there, and then she sees the Krampus hooves and they're slowly pacing around, and then Krampus drops a small little gift for her, a Jack in the Box. And
that's for you.
They do a very good tension building scene where it's slowly and then they give it for the and nothing pops out. And then they give you the big where you get to see the little Jack in the Box screams and end that scene. Pretty intense, bro. Pretty intense.
It was cool. I didn't expect her to die that fast. I didn't expect there to be a death that intense that soon. They did a good job, again, with the PG-13 rating of keeping you on your toes, keeping you interested. I didn't expect any of that. I thought that was cool.
It was pretty cool. I liked it. Jeremy, your initial thoughts of the first encounter with the Krampus?
The more and more I see the Krampus, the more and more I question what the hell he is, because he's got his giant horns, but also he has kind of like satyr feet, kind of like a goat or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So either he's a satyr or he's a goat. And you never see, I don't think you even see his face, because he's got like a mask, kind of like a fake Santa Claus mask.
Yes. Well, yeah, you haven't seen Krampus's face yet, but Krampus in the movie, actually, you never see his real face. He's just wearing this weird Santa mask that he's kind of licking through and stuff like that. At least that's what it's supposed to be.
That's
now,
cool.
Until I read that, I thought, I was like, well, Krampus looks fucking badass. He just looks like Santa, like all fucked up. I was like, no, that's actually supposed to be a mask on top.
And all the elves have like demon masks on as well.
Yes, but we will get to them as the story unfolds. The next, now that Beth hasn't returned, they start to hatch a plan and decide that, hey, why don't we use your Hummer out there and go try to go find Beth at her boyfriend's house.
Dad squad.
So
squadding up.
They, Howard and Tom go and pile into the SUV, into the H2 Hummer, and start making their way downtown. They find immediately a salt truck that's blocking the way. They check it out. It has been abandoned. There's glass is broken. They, through deductive reasoning, see that it has been punched in or punched through.
Yes.
And that all the presents are sent there. Very suspicious.
That's
when Howard and Kechner's character decides, he's like, well, it's time to strap up. Fucking, he has an armory, of course, in the back of there. Takes it out. He's got a shotgun and a 45. Hands the 45 to Tom. He takes the shotgun, and they go off to the boyfriend's house.
That shotgun was sweet. It had a fucking flashlight attached to it.
Yeah.
It was cool as shit.
It was a pretty sweet boomstick, bro.
Fuck yeah.
They go to explore and find, it reminded me a lot when they entered the house of The Thing, when they go to find the Norwegian base and it's like all frozen over inside. They see a gingerbread man who has been stabbed into the front of the refrigerator.
Whoa.
Which is pretty intense.
At least it's dead.
Yeah, at least it's dead. They keep looking about, and then they look over at the fireplace, and it looks like it's been completely destroyed. Kechner's character comes over and says, you know what? This is looks like a gas line exploded. And then upon further investigation, they see giant hoof marks that have come out from there. They hear some screaming. They think it's Beth. They run out of the house, not to find Beth at all. But what they do find is that Keckner gets attacked by something under the Whoa. Snow, and he starts to get dragged off. And I thought this was a big callback to Tremors almost.
Okay,
you know?
I can see
he
that.
He starts getting dragged away. Tom,
I called it a snow snake.
A snow snake. You never get to really see what the thing
is. I think it's
there.
It's a double of. Of the Jack in the Box that was in the house eating the children. So it's actually a Jack in the Box going through the snow.
Oh, Jack in the Box, you think?
Yeah. Mm. That's my guess.
I think it's a Dune-like worm.
Yeah,
from the movie.
Saturn.
Yeah, from Saturn. Yeah. It actually is looking for spice this entire time. And it finds it because actually David Koechner's character is filled with it. He's filled with sugar and spice. And all things
know
nice.
Is...
Just waiting for Jürgen Prochnow to show up or, you know, what's his name? Kyle MacLachlan.
They are able to break Koechner free by Tom busting off a couple rounds into this thing, into the snowy abyss near Koechner, and they end up limping back to the SUV, which they have found has been completely destroyed.
Whoopsie.
In a matter of seconds, has been completely destroyed. So they run back to the house, they get inside, and now shit is getting real. They're freaking out, they're scaring the children immediately, and they have the quiet, polite moment when shit's getting real, where they're like, okay, well, the kids are in here. Why don't we have a... Why don't you take the kids to the other room real quick? Of course, Dorothy doesn't want to help. She's like, all right, fine. I'll get my ass up.
What she says is, why do I have to help? I didn't even like kids when I was one.
Yes. Such a great line. And then she reluctantly agrees and says, come on, kids. I'm going to show you how to make peppermint schnapps.
And she does, and then she gives it to them.
Yeah, she lets one of the kids... She lets the Mountain Dew kid just drink some. Yeah. She's like, yeah, I had half one of these, sonny.
He's had a bunch of sugar. What could alcohol do harm to?
Nothing. He'll be fine.
You really shouldn't start drinking until at least you're 8.
Yeah.
Be a fucking appropriate, okay?
We have a rule. We keep it above the board. 21 months is usually what we
like. By age 14, you're full and Drew Barrymore. So
what's fucked up is
heroin,
like, you can have alcohol when you're 3, but you can't like join the military. Like, that's fucked up.
So,
have you met my therapist, Captain Morgan? He's good.
Captain.
He's good.
Captain.
They go back and forth arguing here and there. Koechner drops hotline after hotline I have here. He says something along the lines of, he's like, what? He was just like, what, were you raised on a farm? He was like, Jesus was born on a farm.
Yeah.
I really like that line. He also has a heart-to-heart with Tom. He was just like, there he goes. He was just like, listen, I know we're here and blah, blah, blah. And sorry for thinking you were a spineless dick. That was pretty great back there.
So redeeming.
I also thought it was good. They decide to board up the house and not go out to search for Beth again. And then Koechner decides he'll take the first watch because, quote unquote, shepherd's got to watch his flock.
I love the inability to explain what they're afraid of. Yes. They come back with no Beth and they're terrified and it's fucking go time. Like, he doesn't come back and he's like, hey, we ran into some shit, he hurt his leg. He comes back and he's like, bored all the fucking windows and doors, nobody's leaving, cell phone's off, I'm not fucking around. But he can't explain what he's afraid of. I like that.
Yes. Yeah, it is. But people, I mean, they're starting to hear some noises and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, they hear something upstairs. They
it's
were
building.
Like, what was that? Squirrel. He was just like, that has to be a giant squirrel. He must be holding his nuts. Another great Dorothy line. God bless that woman. Koechner, after he drops the line of shepherd's got to watch his flock, next scene cuts to him being immediately asleep and everyone asleep there. And, cue the special gingerbread scene. The dangling gingerbread.
I forgot to say that the little fat kid with the curly hair, as soon as I first saw him, he just reminds me of the same fat curly haired friend kid from The Sixth Sense, who didn't think that his Macaulay Culkin's jokes were funny.
Should be plugged in.
Oh my gosh.
I don't need editing.
Did you guys hear any of that?
Wet fart.
Did you? I want to know if that registered.
I heard it.
The Richter scale picked it up. The hook slowly dangles down the very ominous looking hook. Very, very gnarly.
Down the chimney.
Comes down the chimney and attached to it, you're hearing the little little voices. And a gingerbread man is completely tied to this as the fire's dying down. And of course, the little fat boy,
can't
David
help himself.
Koechner, Koechner's son starts to hobble on over there and can smell the gingerbread cookie. He grabs it. By the way, as a fat person, okay, never have I been like. Have I been able to be enticed as a hungry bear would? You understand? Mm-hmm. Like, nobody's ever dangled food, and I was just like, as I was walking, like, oh, man, I really, I think I better check this out. Like, I look, it's just hanging there. It looks, I've never seen food on a rope where I was just like, you know what? Let's roll the dice. Let's gamble with this. Let's gamble with this.
Forget about all the cookies that are in the kitchen. I want the one that's dangling from the chain from the chimney. So,
mystery cookie? Yes, please.
I think they already set up that he's retarded.
He is. The boy's touched. The boy is touched.
Aw, buddy.
Going to be a linebacker someday.
He meanders his way over. He grabs the gingerbread man cookie, takes a bite out of it. The gingerbread cookie screams and looks at him and then immediately ties him up and rounds circles the chains around him like he's an AT-AT walker. And then all of a sudden he's starting to get hoisted up the chimney. The first to come is Sarah. She goes and is holding on to the boy and trying to pull him down, but the monsters are just too strong. They're slowly pulling him up. They're losing the battle, and eventually they let go, and he gets sucked all the way up.
She put in a solid effort, I gotta say.
She tried, you know.
That
she
special
really
moment
tried.
Where she's holding on and sees the gingerbread right in his face, and she can't even explain what the fuck she's seeing. She's so freaked out.
This immediately spreads panic throughout the house. Of course, they just saw somebody get literally yoked up from around them up through the chimney.
Can I interpose? There's a movie that might have inspired this movie, which was made a couple years before it, and probably one of the worst movies ever made by Charles Band, called The Ginger Dead Man. Which I'm sure had a budget of at least $1,000.
You know what? Right when I saw it, I was just like, man, this is such a ripoff of Ginger Dead Man. That was the first thing I thought, Jeremy. That was the first one.
Charles Band, everybody.
Charles Band, Ginger Dead Man. Check it out.
I hate to do this, but I have to pee. I was trying to hold it, and I can't do it.
Well, you know what? Let's have a brief commercial break. We'll get back. We'll return with more Krampus.
It's that time of year again. A time for family, a time for giving, and a time for enjoying our favorite music. And what better way to enjoy that music than hearing it completely remastered by the artist Jeremy Woodworth. Jeremy has comprised over 26 of the greatest Christmas and holiday songs all in one spot. Here, have a listen.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like those nutty Eskimos. They got so many clothes on. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help us make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. This was way before Ambien.
And who can forget this one?
It is chilly out there. I don't know if I should go yet, Steve. I really can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been...
Was hoping that you drop in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like ice.
My mother is a... start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your hurry?
My father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace roar.
So really, I better scurry.
Beautiful, please, don't hurry.
But maybe just one drink more and then
put
I'm out of here.
Put some records on while I pour you
the
a drink.
The neighbors might think.
Baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what did you put in this drink?
Nothing has to be had out there.
I feel weird. I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like starlight.
To break this spell.
I'll take your hat. You're starting to get drowsy.
I ought to say no, no, no,
mind
sir.
Mind if I, you know, start to
At
rape
least
you?
I'm gonna say I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out. Oh, it's cold outside.
You know, I'm feeling really drowsy, mister. Do you think you can get out of the way of the door?
You mind if I put on my clown makeup?
I simply must go.
But baby, it's cold outside.
The answer is no.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This has been, you know, this has been
How lucky
so
that
nice
I have this rope in my
warm.
Hand. Look out the window. This is your last stand.
My sister will be suspicious.
Gosh, your lips are looking so blue.
My brother will be at the front door.
Waves upon a tropical shore.
My maiden's man. Mind is vicious.
Oh, your lips are
but
delicious.
Maybe just a cigarette more.
Oh, maybe your anus.
Oh my gosh, I gotta get home.
And is any Christmas complete without this little ditty? So have your check, credit card, or money order ready. Give the gift that will be remembered for the ages. Give the gift of the Jeremy Woodworth Holiday Album. Thank you, and have a Merry Christmas.
Oh yeah, it's cold outside, and her heart is cold too. Grandma's dying for Christmas. What's that gurgling you hear? Her lungs are filling up with liquid as she drowns in her own juices. Grandma's dying.
Hi, this is Doc Bradley. You're listening to Quality Time, and you better keep listening or I will tear your soul apart.
So, Keckner's son is gone, and all of them are arguing whose fault it is, and Grandma steps up and delivers a powerful, "It's all of our faults." And cue a very Tim Burton-esque stop animation film that explains a little bit of the Krampus background story and how Grandma's already been touched by the Krampus before.
Yeah. She's been touched, man.
That was
she takes
cool.
on the gold Jeff Goldblum role of explaining the Krampus. So,
Well, first, here's the thing. The we never asked ourselves, is Santa real or does he deserve to be real? That's Jeff Goldblum.
Just do it in a British accent.
This is my Jeff Goldblum, and I'm Jeff Goldbluming up the rest
God
of this.
God bless you.
I really love the animation here.
Oh,
I thought
she's
it was
going down.
Krampus
I thought
bless
it was.
You.
I thought it was every good. I thought it was just as good as any Tim Burton, James and the Giant Peach, or any of those other things. Are you doing all right, Sneezy? You're
all right?
Die. You need one more.
She's dying.
I think the best break in a live action film for an animated side plot explanation is in Kill Bill.
Yeah, it is really good.
It's
I
so
really
good.
Like that.
The animation style, the way they told the story, the visuals with the bullet going through his head and going out the back, like that was kick ass.
Yeah, it was pretty vicious and brutal. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yeah. But this was cool too. It was a really sad story about, you know, a lonely girl whose heart was broken by the world. So that's cool too.
Yeah, it wasn't
and
bad.
Was it supposed to be Germany right after all the bombing so that it's like an American Red Cross giving out bread?
Yeah,
I think you're right.
And everybody's like scrambling for a piece of bread because they're all, you know, poor and dying.
It's sad.
So the gang comes up with a plan to get out of town. And the plan is that they remember seeing the snowplow had its keys in there. They're thinking maybe we can get to the snowplow, get it going, and then drive as far as we can away from
reasonable,
this hellhole.
Reasonable. This is my thing, though. Whenever there's a movie where they go like, okay, we need to get out of here, I always am like, question that, because I loved in the Dawn of the Dead remake, taking it back, when they were like, dude, we're going to get the fuck out of this mall, we're going to take everything we need, he's got a boat. And then they go to where they're trying to get to, overrun with zombies. They're mm-hmm. all, the end of that movie, they're all dead now. Stay hunkered down. I don't understand that whenever they're like, how about we take minimal supplies and go somewhere smaller and more vulnerable?
Well, you know what? It's the American way. We always want a little bit more. We want a little bit more action. We want better than what we got.
So true.
We want better than what we got for our zombie children that are that our mail order bride had in a film. And your name is Michael Jai. No, who? I forget. Mikhail Pfeiffer. Isn't that his name? Mikhail Pfeiffer. Yeah. Good stuff. Mikhail Pfeiffer.
If only Eminem was in it.
So, the boy Max and the two girls are hanging out upstairs, and he decides to give him some of the Halloween stash. And you might notice in here that inside of Max's Halloween stash of candy, there's a lollipop that is also recognizable as one of the kill weapons in Trick or Treat.
Oh.
So just another little extra tidbit in there that's thrown in. But the girls think that they hear Beth upstairs, and they're like, "What are you doing? Everybody's looking for you."
What
so
the
they go.
Fuck? Bitch.
And investigate the upstairs, completely forgetting that they've been hearing loud stomping sounds that aren't squirrels upstairs for a while.
Listen,
for
they're confused about their gender. They don't even know how to get through life right now.
They hear the screams that immediately start happening after the girls have disappeared, and the Sarah and Tom go to investigate the upstairs, I believe with Aunt Dorothy as well. And David Koechner goes to investigate the kitchen. And this is probably one of the highest action sequences of the movie that goes on.
Also where you start to lose me.
You start to lose you? This is the part right here?
I was so conflicted because I fucking love the animatronic doll with the owl wings.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Like, again, I've said it before. I'll say it again. Anytime you have a special effect that is actually crafted and you can hold it in your hands and it has to be animated, that's always preferred to me than CGI.
The gingerbread men, they're a little, they add to the camp of the movie and not making it scary. Because you're not actually scared of the gingerbread men at all.
I was scared of the doll.
Oh, man.
And then it switched back and forth and I was like, scared? Not scared. Scared.
Well, like, I loved all the upstairs monsters. There's a fucking demonic teddy bear up there.
Yeah.
Has a giant, like, gnarly ass teeth grin.
The
Jack in the Box who swallowed one of the children as they're walking up, and they immediately look at that and just go, "What the fuck?"
Is that the one when it had like the giant teeth, like
come around with
the flashlight?
Yeah, yeah.
That was badass.
As it just seeing the feet of the girl just go,
swallowed. Oh my god, that was amazing. And then it cuts to downstairs and it's like CGI gingerbread men. You're like, man.
Yeah. I almost would have liked it better if it were real gingerbread men that were just like
someone
moving around
at him from off stage. Just
I would have liked it probably better.
Agreed.
They are a bit CGI and cartoony.
Yeah.
And you can only laugh at that scene as they're shooting nails at David Koechner and he's taking nails to the side. And I'm like, all right, come on. Is it really?
They really fucked up his legs in this movie.
Yeah,
his legs took a lot of hits.
They treat his legs like fucking Charlie Murphy. Charlie Murphy does Rick James in the Chappelle Show.
So much like Raimi, the fact that instead of little mini ashes, you actually have gingerbread men. So
Yeah, yeah. It is very... I think this movie, if I were to equate it to anything, is like Evil Dead on Christmas.
Yeah, okay, yeah. You know, I can see that.
That's what it's a lot like, and I laugh a lot during a lot of the parts during it. We also neglected to mention that there is a toy robot upstairs as well.
Yes.
That has a knife-wielding robot. So a giant fight breaks out.
Even laying on the floor of the kitchen, he's still able to shoot the lantern and make it explode with his shotgun. So
it ends up by stabbing the teddy bear in the eye. Teddy gets stabbed in the eye, which is pretty cool.
Metal.
I forget what they did to the angel doll, but they incapacitate it, and then the giant Jack in the Box finally gets in the air ducts and slips away, and Keckner's character blows up one of the gingerbread man with the lantern, and the last one's coming at him with a sharpened candy cane, which I will tell you is the most dangerous weapon I've ever seen. If you've never been stabbed in the tongue by a fucking candy cane before, you don't know what pain is,
You
sir.
Don't even really try. You just start to lick it, and then you kind of get lost in thought. And then at one point, you're like, oh, I'm kind of done with this. And you look down, and it is a weapon.
And until you get jabbed in the tongue and you lose the taste for all salt for a week, it's fucking horrible.
But the highlight of the film was Toni Collette on her back being tortured by the evil angel. It's not bad enough it's attacking her. It's the tongue that comes out.
Licking her in the face.
That was great. That's what I kept like saying to myself, was like, okay, what is the threat here? And it was just that it made her really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's no different than seeing Jeremy do stand up.
That is true. It was very similar.
Look for the exit. Where do you get the hell out of this comedy? So.
How do I leave here? The joke's on you. We lock the doors. the Jack in the Box crawls its way into the air vents, and now we can hear it crawling through the ducts downstairs. And they know that one of the children is in there, so they send the dog Rosie, who just took out the last gingerbread man, I forgot to mention, came up and bit the gingerbread man and ate him. He's like, no, I love my dog. And
pretty great.
Before he hated that dog, but you saved my life. You're pretty cool now.
That's my dog. So that's my dog.
They send the dog into the air ducts, and there is a struggle, and the Jack in the Box comes crashing down through the ceiling with Teddy Bear and that other motherfucking angel.
Coming back.
And then now it's time, Dorothy's time to shine. She picks up the shotgun and boom, blows away the fucking teddy bear in a very dramatic fashion. Boom, blows away the angel, puts it perfectly in the wreath, which is just very funny to me. That's another very, like, I feel like callback to Army of Darkness, where it's just like one of those things that shouldn't happen. You're like, that perfect thing, like where Ash's hand perfectly fits on the chainsaw.
Yes,
like, that shouldn't do that. But
so,
I was so happy that it did.
Over the top.
And then just when they're about to blow the head off of the Jack in the Box, all of a sudden,
Ruh-roh.
In come the elves. And the elves come bursting through.
What's the line?
Finish it, Dorothy. They come bursting through the doors and the windows.
Knock her ass
out.
And
they end up taking Aunt Dorothy out through there. The Jack in the Box escapes, and they're left with just two family members? I think Keckner gets taken out here too, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Keckner. I think Keckner gets taken out, or he goes.
I think he rides the Jack in the Box out the window.
Yeah, he tries to go after her.
Yeah. So they try to go and they end up making the improvised plan to go make it to the snowplow now. And just as they're about to leave, Grandma locks the door and says, no, I must face Krampus. I'm like, why are you facing Krampus?
You've
already been through enough, old lady. What, are you going to hold him off?
She's
probably going to fuck you.
My fucking breath hurts. I'm so old. Blinking is just painful inconvenience. Take me next. She's trying to go out in a self-sacrificing way so her tombstone reads something awesome, but really she's just like, dude, I'm done. I'm outing myself.
Can we add a little tiny side note for only 30 seconds that we sang our happy birthday to our 95-year-old grandmother today.
Aww.
Who barely acknowledged that we were there, although she's kind of like rubbing something, so she's definitely still there. But being the Woodworth assholes that we still are, we still sing our Christmas, our happy birthday death song, which is grief, misery, and despair, people dying everywhere.
That's amazing. Can we get a recording of that for the funeral home?
Yes. Yes,
play
we
in
can.
The background. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Call it the Ambrose Greatest Hits.
Ambrose will be closed within a year. So.
It's that song and just all of Wham's greatest hits performed by Jeremy.
Wake me up before you go, go! I'm not planning on going solo!
Grandma faces off against the Krampus inside of the house, and then Krampus ends up... You finally get to see the gnarly face of Krampus, which is distorted through a sick, twisted version of a Santa mask, and he opens up his bag of toys, and inside it, I just wrote this one phrase... Grandma gets nutcracked.
Ah, boom!
You get to see the evil nutcracker in there.
And let's not forget, while he touches Grandma's face, he starts working the tongue again.
Yeah, there's so much good tongue action in this movie. I really do love that part, actually. So, the gang is all on their way. All we're left with is Linda and Sarah, Tom, Max, and one of the two daughters are the only survivors at this point. They start getting picked off one by one. First, it's Linda. First, it's Tom. He stays behind and starts shooting all the snow monsters. Next is Linda, who gets sucked in. Then, Sarah tries to save her and then also gets sucked in. Meanwhile, you've left the children to try to drive a Mack truck that is a stick shift, and he has no idea. He's sitting there fiddling with the keys. Max is trying to start the car. Boom, the girl gets yoked up next. So it's just now Max only.
When he tries to start it, what does he say? Our family owns a hybrid. I don't know how to drive.
I don't know how to drive this. You killed Mr. Magruder.
I like how in the beginning of the movie, Adam Scott said that like they made fun of him for being an Eagle Scout. And he was like, actually, it's a lot of like survival training. But then really quickly in the movie, the audience is expected to be like, oh, thank God he's an Eagle Scout.
Yes. Thank God my Eagle Scout training is coming back into play here.
Hopefully he'll have to make some kind of knot or something.
So hopefully he'll have to present his young boy ass to be molested by a 40-year-old man to get out of this.
I can't wait to see the part where he helps an old woman across the street to get through this horrible time.
Yes.
Just as manly as Jake Gyllenhaal in Zodiac. So
yeah.
So Krampus then comes and then leaves young Max the Krampus death jingle bell and gives it to him, very similar to the same story that his grandmother had received, the same one all those years ago. So now Max is left all alone, very much like a Kevin McAllister whose parents are in New York or Hawaii or whatever they decide to go without him this year. And he goes and pursues and comes upon the Krampus weird demonic ritual that's happening. All the little elves and everything are lined up.
And evil reindeer.
And evil reindeer and everything. And then Max confronts the evil Krampus. And first it opens up a giant... He drops the ball and says, you can have it back. I just want it all back. And he throws the giant ball over there and it drops in the middle and opens up a giant fiery cauldron, which the girl is then chucked in. And then before she's chucked in, he says, you can take me. You can take me instead. And instead he throws her in and throws him in.
I love any time that happens. Anytime that somebody faces their fear, sacrifices themselves, and the person's like, cool, man, I'm going to fucking kill you anyway.
Yeah.
You get that quintessential moment where the music gets really, 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 really wonderful. He's like, yeah. No, you can take me instead. And he's got that little tear, and the Krampus takes his giant nail and wipes away the tear, and you're thinking, oh, Krampus, like, no, the Krampus starts laughing at him. Fucker, I'm throwing you in too.
You can tell this kid is from a bad marriage because he uses a really passive-aggressive guilt trip to try to survive. Yeah. Like, he's dangling from the long finger-nailed hands of a fucking, hairy Christmas demon spirit. And he goes, well, all I wanted was for Christmas to be like it used to be, but guess I won't get that.
But instead, you get a much more metal version.
Yeah.
So he gets tossed into the fiery abysses of what can only be described as hell. And all of a sudden he wakes up. And it's Christmas morning.
That's all a dream!
This is the part where I was like, damn it! They're going to make it all happy and shit.
And all of a sudden, it seems fine. His family's downstairs. They're opening presents.
Nice day out.
Everybody's shooting the shit and having a great time.
Hey, guy, we were waiting for you.
And then all of a sudden, Max finally opens up his present.
Oh, shit.
And it's the Black Krampus ball.
Oh, shit.
And they pan away, and they pull out of the window, and you see that they're in a house, and that house is within a snow globe, and that snow globe is within a giant crypt keeper like den with other hundreds of other little snow globes everywhere. And now that is the end of the Krampus movie.
So basically, the thing that Krampus threatens you with is eternal best Christmas ever.
Yeah, pretty much.
You better fucking you want that? Do you want that? Do you want best fucking Christmas ever every day for the rest of your life? You better straighten your shit up, man.
Welcome to Groundhog's Day.
And, yeah, and the best part was the song Jeepers Creepers. So.
Yes.
Welcome to Groundhog's Day, but it's the day you got jerked off in Finding Nemo, and it never ends.
Ugh.
Oh, I can handle that 100,000 times.
Now, there are some theories about the ending to this movie. Okay. Theory one is that... Listen, I had to do research for this. You get the hard-hitting facts.
Can we all do... Okay.
Well, there's two predominant theories about the ending to this movie and what it means. One is that, basically, you fucked up Christmas so bad that now your punishment for the rest of your life is that you have to relive Christmas with all of the people that you hate every day of your existence from here on out, basically living in your own personal Christmas hell.
That would suck.
Which wouldn't be very fun.
No, that would suck.
You know what? I'm going to go down on as no. I don't like that. I don't like it at all. So you're stuck in Christmas for every day. But another theory, and this one actually draws upon what was written in some of the comic books afterwards that came out about this. The other theory is that this is actually just how Krampus is looking in on you. And now that he's taught you this lesson, that the meaning of Christmas and how important Christmas is, now he's just going to keep an eye on you to make sure he doesn't need to come back. Which really ties in, I kind of like that ending a little bit better, just because it really makes it a real Christmas movie now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you look at it, even the director Daughtry even says that the movie, if you look at movies like It's a Wonderful Life and A Christmas Carol, they're both nightmares that these people have, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They're nightmares about life that they realize how important Christmas really is. That's what they are. And that's really what Krampus really is calling upon. I mean, it's putting you through hell in a very extreme way, more than, you know, It's a Wonderful Life or A Christmas Carol ever put upon.
After being attacked by ginger evil gingerbread, a teddy bear with shark teeth, and a fucking horrifying snake jaw unhinging to take you into its bowels fucking Jack in the Box, I'm not going to come out after that and be like, you know what I need is Christmas spirit, you guys.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's
the
thing.
I'm going to be like, I'm Jewish. It's done.
You know, and my only problem with it, this whole film, is I really loved everything about it and the endings. You know what? Where was Jesus in all this? I mean...
You're going to talk about Christmas. Where's the Christ? Where's the Christ in Christmas?
He's the reason for the season. Okay,
I get
guys?
So annoyed when somebody goes, this is petty, but I get really annoyed when somebody gets mad that you said happy holidays. Because it's like, you're mad that I'm not being inclusive and fair. Like, how are you offended? Because I'm not acknowledging the one that you personally celebrate? I don't fucking know you.
I'm Donald Trump, and I have to see in Krampus. I've decided to rename
it. Wait a minute. This is your turn,
rename,
Donald Trump.
It's not bad.
Rename the movie Jesus Krampus.
Jesus Krampus. Well, it's going to be a much better movie.
Next time I stub my toe.
First of all, this movie's going to be a blockbuster. It's going to be the biggest film of the year. It's going to be bigger than any Christmas film we've ever done up until this point. Scrooge, come on. Not as funny. Not as funny as funny as the Krampus movie that we're going to do. Christmas Carol, definitely not as scary. Not as scary as our movie. Christmas Feeling overall, definitely not as good as... maybe as good as A Jingle All the Way, but I'd say just a little bit better. Overall, I'd say it's going to be a phenomenal movie. It's going to be the best Christmas movie we ever had. We have Adam in it. He's going to be great. He's going to be the best actor you've ever seen. David Koechner, he's pretty much the funniest comedian anyone's ever seen. Nobody's ever seen anyone funnier than
Nobody.
Him. He was in The Office a couple episodes. You probably would like him.
Best episodes of The Office.
The best episodes of The Office. I know that. I hired him. I put him at the top of my staff.
Can I get back to the real meaning of the movie?
Before you do that, I'm really proud of you because you didn't make Donald Trump British, and I just really want to.
I'm Donald Trump.
I made Donald Trump again.
So anyway, I think the most important part about the movie is that everybody's really shitty to each other,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's really just selfish until the Krampus and all of his demons, and everybody becomes great.
Yeah,
because not only is the daughter going out to get some sex, she dies before she goes and gets some sex, which is kind of like any Jason movie.
Yeah.
But at the same time, everybody bands together and even giving the kids drinks, which I think was
all we had to do was Beth had to die and we all came together. I don't know why she just didn't do that sooner.
That is true.
So thanks, I think the Krampus brought everybody together and, made Christmas better, even though everybody's dying. So
it was. You know what? It was a special film, and, I was happy with it overall.
Very entertaining.
Little fact just to end out the show here. This movie was actually dedicated in loving memory to Michael Daughtry's mother, Roma Grace Daughtry.
Aw, shucks.
Which begs the question... What a great loving memory movie you could pick. Like when I go out, okay?
When my final movie is Human Centipede 3 and I dedicate it to my dying mother. So.
Dick Nato, dedicated to all the 9/11 survivors and first responders who gave their life on that day.
Tom Six's mother, 7-6. Yeah. So, yeah.
And that's it, guys. That's our show.
Hey!
Another quality time.
Merry
in the
Christmas,
bag.
Everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Krampus.
Make sure you hug your
Krampus.
Loved ones. Otherwise, it's Krampus will be out for you. Kimberly, where can people find you?
At Watch Me Doing This on Twitter, at Panic at the Deli on Instagram. The Second Saturday Shit Show is free the second Saturday of every month upstairs at the Auto Bar. Did I mention that it's free? We have Frankie French headlining in January. Who gives a shit? Yay!
Fuck yeah! Check out the Second Saturday Shit Show, everybody. And you can check out all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Eric with a K, comedy with a C. We're on Stitcher now, guys, so get on there and give us a 5-star rating there, or if you prefer, hop on the iTunes and give us a 5-star rating there. We will read it on the show. Check out Jeremy on Twitter at Pogo the Clown or at the Boba Dork. I don't remember. Thank you.
Go Tinder.
Night. God bless. I really can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
was hoping that you'd
so
drop in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands there just like
my
ice.
Mother will start to
beautiful,
worry.
Beautiful, what's your hurry?
My father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to that five-pace roll.
So really, I better scurry.
Beautiful, please.
But maybe just a half a drink more.
Put some records while I pour.
The neighbors might think
maybe it's bad out there.
Say what's in this drink.
No has to be had out there.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like starlight now.
This spell.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks swell.
I ought to say no, no, no.
Mind if
sir.
I move in?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out
baby,
the gates.
It's cold outside. Seriously, I don't know what you put in this drink, but I'm not really feeling it. It's a root spinning right now. Because I'm feeling awkward. I
Rufio,
simply must go.
It's cold outside.
The answer is
the
no.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This welcome has been
how lucky that you dropped
so warm
in.
Tonight.
Look out the window at that
my
star.
My sister will be suspicious.
Gosh, your lips are looking blue.
My brother will be at the door.
Waves upon a tropical storm.
My maiden's man's mind is
ooh,
vicious.
Oh, your lips are delicious.
But maybe I'll cigarette
just like
more.
Your anus.
I've got to get home.
But baby, it's freeze out there.
Say, lend me that coat.
It's up to your knees out there.
I've really been great.
I'm thrilled when you touch my
pubic hair. I don't see
it. How can you do this thing to me,
Kim?
There's
bound to be talk tomorrow.
Think
people are going to know I'm missing.
Sorrow.
At least I will be plenty
of
time.
If you got it, hold your head
I really
high.
Can't stay.
Get over that hold out.
Baby,
it's cold outside.
Please, my family has money. They have money. Let me go, sir. For the love of God, no.
She called it shining.
Gosh, I'm already sick of this song.